Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, the first hour, for obvious reasons, dominated by the fallout from the Mueller report. This is a story which has dominated the headlines for 2 years. To some level, we were going to discuss it. Didn't come up at all in the 1 o'clock hour. 2:30, Dara will have some fun. But we are getting back to it again, because if you use any type of metric to judge what people are reacting to today, this is the lead. And I'm actually not on Monday. But if I was on Monday, unless something new came out, we'd be moving on. But today, we're going to stay with points of it. And I think it's fair. So I want to get to this part. What should the Democrats do? We're sitting here now on April 19th. The election is November, I forget the date, next year. There is a 0.0% chance of impeachment in the Senate unless the redacted information is revealed, and it reveals items that there's no inkling to right now. Let's be clear. The report, Mueller report, the number one headline is that the president and his team, to a level where Mueller could criminally prove it, that there was no coordination with Russia. That is obviously great news, but it shouldn't even be news. It should be the automatic, that we shouldn't be worrying about whether a candidate for the presidency was coordinating a potential victory with Russia. It does point out that the Trump administration, the potential Trump administration, was aware of Russia's help and that they knew they would benefit from it, but to a level of intent to the cooperation, no. Anybody who says it says no obstruction, you're a liar. Simple as that. The president, as is his wont, constantly does not tell the truth. At no point in this report, no point in the 448 pages, does it say no obstruction. It basically says it is up to Congress, that we cannot prove it either way, and acknowledges that within the Justice Department guidelines, he cannot indict a sitting president. So it will be unfair to any person, in this case the president, when he can't then go to trial, to defend himself. But it does not say no obstruction. For the Democrats, they should still try to pursue more of this information. Let's point out 12 members of Congress, equally between Democrats and Republicans, will see the redactions. They absolutely will question William Barr, who has a significant pedigree, but to me, yesterday acted like a member of the president's defense team. And they should absolutely ask Robert Mueller. The question becomes, how far to go? Because if you do try impeachment, which I don't think they should, I hope our country does not go through it. I do not want to see it happen. Beat him. Okay? I mean, the report is endless in his lies and his attempts of obstruction. I mean, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming the number of items he called fake news that absolutely were true. Just read it. Read the report. It is clear about that. I don't want to see an impeachment here. So what do the Democrats do? I think they question Barr. They question Mueller. They look at the redactions. that continue to govern the damn country. And while doing that, they refute the president when he says no obstruction. The conspiracy and the collusion, he's right, although, you know, he kept saying it and people just parroted him because they agreed with him. And others said it wasn't true because they disagree with him. What effect does it have on 2020? Obviously, if it was showed a conspiracy, it could have been awful for the president regarding 2020. It could have been an amazing detriment. Did it change it? So that's it. What effect does that have on you? Was there information out there that you were going to be objective about that you consumed and either, wow, this bothers me more, this is nothing, let's move on? What effect did it have on you in any particular way? Let me know through texts, phone calls, Facebook, all those ways. 651-989-9226 or plenty of texts, 81807. Love the feedback. Let's get that going right now. And now, an update with Laura. I am amused by the folks saying, move on, the story is old. It happened yesterday. These are mainly folks who are defenders of the president, which nothing wrong with that. You totally get to own that, and you can be proud of it. Nothing wrong with it. But if you have an investigation regarding the president of the United States and whether he did or did not work with Russia, or within the investigation, whether he obstructed that investigation to think it came out to the public, and by the time a lot of people consumed it, it was 7, 8, 9 o'clock last night, and that we should move on, you don't get it. This isn't a show where we consume 3 hours of politics all the time. I don't have interest in that. I personally don't think that's the way we should go at this station. But to act like you have something which has been discussed as much as this and speculated on what would be in it, and now it's out, and then you just say, okay, it's out, let's move on. Let's talk flowers. That's a bore fest. That doesn't work. So, we're going to talk about it. We didn't talk about it for an entire hour. We're going to talk about it one more segment. We'll get to other things. But this idea, it's old. No, look around. Judge all the metrics on what people are talking about. And this is right at the top of the list. Let's get to a couple other items within this. What are we doing to stop countries right now from doing this again? What is the administration doing to stop countries? We now have it once again proven beyond belief that Russia was behind this. It's been proven enough. And guess what? Our intelligence has been wrong before and will be wrong again. If you want to defer to Vladimir Putin's word over all our intelligence, which they're humans, they're flawed, WMDs included, then go to it. I'm going to lean with our intelligence, no matter their parties. Doesn't matter. But what are we now doing? Since Donald Trump came off, because the president is tweeting yesterday, this happened under President Obama's watch. What has he then done? What has he done to stop Russia, China, and other outlets? But let's just stay with Russia since it's been proven. And let's go back to the Obama part, because you know what? He didn't do enough. That is clear cut. He should have done more. It had to be more than a stern warning to Vladimir Putin. He failed clearly in that area. But let's not forget a fact that when he went to Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and wanted to issue a joint statement, a powerful one, saying that here is what Russia is trying to do, that McConnell and Ryan would not put out a joint statement. So guess what? Jay Johnson, Homeland Security Director, put something out. Guess what happened that weekend? The Access Hollywood tape. So it was irrelevant. So no doubt this happened. Part of this happened. Not then the investigation and the clear obstructive acts by the president, in my opinion. I mean, when you're telling people to lie, when you're telling people to fire them, to me, that would rise to an obstruction. That, in the literal sense, is obstruction. Is it to the level of impeachment? That is a very separate situation. And again, the policy of the Justice Department is you can't indict a sitting president. I accept that. But what the hell are we doing to stop this? Let's also get to this one. A recent poll came out that more than half of the GOP said Russia was not involved. That's embarrassing. That's, what is that? Let's just go with the boldest, the first stupidity, naivete, blind loyalty, or believe in the gaslighting. That if you're told something over and over and over again, that you're just going to believe it. The evidence is overwhelming in that area, and people are still saying it did not happen. That is an insult. How about the Don McGahn part? Where not once but twice the president told him to fire Robert Mueller, which, by the way, was within his legal purview. But when he says over and over again, I wasn't going to do it, and when McGahn didn't want to be part of it, like the Saturday night massacre in the 70s, that's clear. So again, if you believe the president and you think everybody else is lying, you're entitled to it. But we continue to get an overwhelming amount of information which shows that. Okay? But Don McGahn, in a part of this with the president, and McGahn, by the way, sat down with Mueller for 30 hours. And they're meeting. And the president looks at McGahn and says, what are you doing? And McGahn, who's the White House lawyer, is taking notes, which the lawyer, the four-year-old kid who wants to be a lawyer would probably get, well, I should take notes on this. And the president says, my lawyers don't take notes. And Don McGahn comes back as well, I'm a real lawyer. And does take notes. That's what the president is all about, loyalty. That's how he operated as Donald Trump businessman. And that's how he thinks the rest of it as his administration should be. When Jeff Sessions comes to him, and now the kind of the money line quote where he says, OMG, my presidency is bleeped. And he adds, you know, because it's going to be consumed. Right. Not the idea that it's already over, because now the investigation will show it, but that it's consumed. Jeff, how could you do this? This is how the president thinks. He thinks these positions, which are set up by the founding fathers and maybe have been fine-tuned by changes in the law, should all report to him. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way, and he doesn't get that. He doesn't think it should work that. He doesn't think, doesn't want to adapt to the constitutionality compared to the successful businessman in New York. Okay, text here. I think it's interesting the stories like New York Times, Washington Post reported on Trump called fake news and now been proven true in the Mueller report. It's extraordinarily valid. All these things, I mean, it's a long, long list. Where the president said fake news or Sarah Sanders said this, and it was obviously not true. This texter, it's all gossip. Nothing you can say on this little show will ever change anyone's mind. I think it's a little show also. You're listening, though. No, it's not gossip. It's a report from the former FBI director who, when he was appointed, pretty much every Republican in D.C. said, fantastic. That's not gossip. That is work by a patriot who served our country well in the military also. The Trump administration will do nothing. They need Russia's help to win the next election. What are we doing to stop that? Americans are tired of the Russia story. It does not affect their day-to-day lives. Yes, it does. Because if the presidency was in jeopardy, that would impact their lives dramatically. I don't think anyone from the right or left is stupid enough to believe that what Trump says is always the truth. I'm so sick of that you've talked about this. I've never seen or heard such hatred for a president. You kissed the last one. It's time for the country to move on. Give me examples, texture, where I kissed the last one. We should talk about this, but the country Democrats need to move on. No matter what the presidency does, we're going to have people that are going to vilify him. What about how this all started? It says DNC Hillary documents. The dossier played a small part in this. There is not a large volume about the dossier. This started with Papadopoulos talking. That's how it started. I know that Donald Trump is the true Messiah, this text. I should know. I followed a few. Let's see. I'm not a Trump supporter, but when he responded to Ilhan Omar's statement, some people did something, I was proud of what he said. I did not agree at all. I categorically disagreed with Representative Omar on that particular point, but you don't use a video from 9/11 as a political prop. I thought that was distasteful. But that does not, in my opinion, take the representative off for minimizing 9/11 or playing up to anti-Semitic tropes and then coming out of it and saying, oh, I didn't realize. Yes, she does. She's way too savvy for that. Last comment on this, and then I'm done. Plenty of text. When Bill Barr says in the press conference, which he has before people have read the report, which never happens. That's not how you conduct a press conference, right? You conduct it after people have consumed it, and then they can answer. They can ask you questions. He will face difficult questions when he appears in front of Congress. But part of his summary said the White House did everything and anything they could do to help out the investigation. They did allow numerous officials to appear over a huge amount of documents. The president never sat down for an interview. He told us over and over and over again he would sit down with Robert Mueller. He never did. The man who told us multiple times he has the greatest memory of anybody. In his written answers, which we know were lawyered up, he says not once, not 10, not 20, but 30 times. Again, the man who said he has the greatest recall of anyone, I don't recall. He called it a witch hunt endlessly. Angered Democrats. That's not doing everything possible to help the investigation, let alone that not once but twice he tried to get his people to fire Mueller and they wouldn't do it. What does it say that you have people within the administration who are stopping him from doing these things? That's pretty stunning to say the least. The Twins game is rained out. The Twins in Baltimore, dreary out on the East Coast. So the Twins ball game postponed. I do not have the details on a date yet when the game will be made up. So the Twins and the woeful Orioles will not be heard tonight on the home of the Twins, WCCO. You know the old axiom, Shaletta, you don't show up early to a party? You don't want to be early, right? I mean, let's say you're having it at 8 o'clock. You don't want the people there at 7:45. Dara, because the building's locked, right? Because
it's Good Friday.
It's Good Friday, yeah. Right? So Dara,
it's the best Friday.
just in time.
I'm out of breath.
You're out of breath. And you have new magazines.
I have new magazines.
Can I have one?
Yes.
Grab one for me too now.
All right. Yeah. So much is going on this weekend.
Where to go,
Easter,
what
Passover.
To eat, and how to live your best life right here.
Yeah,
wow. That's a bold statement, by the way.
It's your best. You're living your best life, aren't you, Chad? You're not wishing you were in the waters of Ventura Beach, California or something, wading around?
No, I'm not going to object when I'm teeing it up Monday on a golf course in another state.
Oh.
But there's a lot of part of my life I'm very, very happy about.
Yeah, me too. You know, I came out of New York City, I looked around, I said, this is a paradise. I'm going to get some of this. And then...
Then you came here.
Years later, I'm still here.
Yes.
So check it out. I've been wanting to write this story for 20 years. It is the story of In Search of Hot Beef.
Hot beef.
Hot beef. Okay. All right. So the hot beef commercial sandwich. This is like something that's kind of been floating around. I know that you think that the Juicy Lucy is overrated because you and I have been fighting this fight for a good solid 5 years.
It is. It is.
Well, I got
cheeseburgers. I love them. I could eat them endlessly. Scalding hot cheese out of the burger flying at you. I'll pass.
It's the best possible way. Anyway, I like a cheeseburger too, though. I'm not against it. But I've been wanting to know about this kind of hot beef commercial sandwich and like, what is it? Where did it come from? Where did it go? Was it ever very popular? And I spent a month searching about this, and I found some loyal listeners of ours while I was on this quest. The people of Bumps in Glencoe, I know they're listening because they listen every week.
Oh,
so
that's
hello,
very kind.
You people of Bumps in Glencoe. All right, so here's what a hot beef commercial sandwich is. It's roast some beef, so like a pot roast style. Like I think that's what it was really supposed to be in the olden days. So it's pot roast, like really... You know, 24-hour or 8-hour or whatever you're going to do. Pot roast and then take the stuff left in the pan, the drippings, make it into real gravy. So you're making gravy from scratch. It's not open a packet, not a can, nothing. It has to be scratch gravy. Then you're getting real mashed potatoes. In the olden days, as far as I've been able to detect, people actually baked their own bread. I know, newsflash.
Wow.
So you take some of that, you take a slice of your bread that's you homemade or, you know, some nice white bread. Then you put the pot roast on top, put potatoes on top of that, gravy, another slice of bread on top, more gravy on top of the bread, which is kind of nuts. And that.
The picture looks fantastic.
The picture is fantastic. Bumps in Glencoe, they go through, I think it was 2,000 pounds of gravy a week. Like they make their gravy from scratch. In the 1990s, they decided to do it, and then they said, we're going to do everything better. So they went to mashed potatoes from scratch, gravy from scratch, and it's so good. Like, I talked to all of these old people. I talked to Marilyn Haggerty, who, you know, is a critic in North Dakota, and she was like, oh, yeah, everyone had these when I was a kid.
Was it the Applebee's? What did she?
Yeah, the Olive Garden. She
Olive Garden.
Olive Garden,
yeah, that's
review,
right.
And it went viral.
Yeah.
But she was like, everyone was eating these all the time, and then – kind of fell out of favor, like maybe in the 60s. And then I found other, you know, Beatrice Ojakangas, our local cookbook hero. She had the exact same story. So everybody had this to say, which was at one point, this kind of pot roast sandwich was the Minnesota food. Every small town, everyone was just eating it like this was normal. And then kind of gravy packets came into heavy use in the 1960s. And then we just abandoned them. And so this is my kind of call to bring them back, my research about them. I've been wanting to do the story for so long.
Okay, do you sense it might come back?
I don't know, but if you go to Bumps and Glencoe and you have one, you'll be like, oh, that's why this was the most popular sandwich, because it is delicious. Everything you like about pot roast, and then everything you like about the day after Thanksgiving, smash together.
Yes, that's the key, because I've told you also overrated turkey on Thanksgiving. It's like the seventh best one. But if you mash it all together with the gravy, see, I'd add a little filling, as my father calls it, stuffing, to this on Thanksgiving, and it's just a phenomenal sandwich.
Peas, which I've been to a million times. It's that chain that's here in town,
yeah.
Kind of a scratch chain.
Pepsi, as they say in the commercials.
Right. They've been doing a hot beef commercial sandwich. They just call it a hot beef plate. Like
yep.
The whole time I've been living here, I've been there 20 times. Never.
Let's go. That's on you.
It.
Can I ask you one place that's closing
yeah.
down? Maven. Okay. The bagel, the deli phenom
yeah.
that everybody was talking about for a while, and now it's shutting down.
Yeah, it's a blow to my heart. The
yeah.
place was amazing.
Yeah.
It only lasted 10 months.
So it's Lynn Lake.
Lynn Lake.
Right? There's a lot going on in Lynn Lake.
There's those 1,200 apartments. Everyone's been kind of gold rushing to the new 1,200 apartments off the
yeah.
Greenway. Those people do not eat out. Like, I don't know. I think everyone has these theories about who those people are and what they do with their money. And, I should say all the real estate developers have these theories that, oh, these people have millions of dollars. They're going to come out of their holes and they're going to spend money. My feeling is that all the people in those 1,200 apartments are cash-strapped millennials who are student
yep.
loans and three people to apartment, and they are not going out to eat. So we have – remember that kind of boom of uptown restaurants? We're going to have Cena. We're going to have all these things.
Yeah.
Dead, all of them.
Well, because I was going to ask it, like Bryant Lake Bowl is kitty corner. You're two blocks from the heart of Uptown. How are the restaurants, overall restaurants, faring in that area?
Terribly.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's turning into a place where people that don't have a ton of money, you know, young professionals,
yep.
go for a beer.
Yeah, so I was going to say drinking's probably
yeah,
still great.
Nothing wrong with that, but it cannot see. And I think that Maven opened wrong. Like, they really, when they opened, they were like, oh, bagels are over at 2 o'clock and you can't get them afterwards.
Yep.
And then they had this kind of more expensive menu at nighttime, and they, you know, they had their own justifications. They were like, we can't make money selling bagels at night. But then I think it just, you know, a whole bunch of people just became conditioned to not go there.
Yep.
And then that was the end of that. So I was disappointed. They had some great things.
Yeah, I ate there once and thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, everybody, if you want a real bagel, you know, go out and support the places. Rise in the North Loop, that's really good.
Yep.
And
well, the deli place I go to the most is Crossroads, St. Louis Park there. I'm huge fans of those guys. I think they do a really good job. I just was surprised this place shut down.
Surprised it shut down so fast. 10 months did not seem
yeah.
like they should have given it more time. But what do I know? I'm just a critic.
So you're tying together Easter, Passover, and 420. Okay, 420 means a lot. We've had, you know, 419, Oklahoma City bombing, 420 Columbine, what we had, the scare earlier this week, but then 420, and let's all smoke up. You're tying all these together.
I am not. The calendar is. They're all yeah. happening at yeah. one weekend.
So you're putting it in order of import, 421 and Easter and Passover tied for two. Is that what you're telling me?
No, and send your comments to Chad, not me. So I'm just saying, it's just apparently a holiday weekend for everyone.
Yes.
It's a, so, okay.
A new way to enjoy the celebrations with a smile on your face and building up your attitude, your appetite.
Do your relatives drive you crazy? Well,
yes.
We've got a way to.
Yes.
You won't even know they're there. You'll be so happy.
All right, so tell me about some of the items you have in here in the 420 celebration that you put.
Oh, it's kind of turned into a celebration among all of the breweries, mainly, I would say. It's there's just so many events. We have a whole bunch of them up on at msbmag.com. It's just funny to me. You just lead your life, and all of a sudden you're like, well, how did that happen? We are.
Well, it's bigger than right? It's bigger than ever. It's legal in 10 states. The debate here.
We have the CBD places downtown. We have, it's just, don't you think it's funny?
No. I think it's what should be happening in society right now. It's ridiculous to me that it's not legal. Right?
Well, I think I agree with you. It is, so many people have pain, but I think it's kind of funny that it just spontaneously become like a grassroots celebration.
See, we've talked about this before. See, we differ on this. I don't think it's spontaneous. I think people have been banging the drum on this for years and years and years. And from medicinal marijuana, medicinal marijuana first became illegal in California in 1996. And they tried out there for years and years. Lots of states have tried for years. for to get marijuana legal. And we talked about this Fairmont
conference last year, and you know, they were telling me that the marijuana tourism industry is huge.
Yeah.
And they've had a marijuana gold rush of people moving there to build, you know, hotels and spas and restaurants and restaurants and restaurants. So
yeah, I've said this many times. The downside and the side effect issues of alcohol compared to marijuana, I would take marijuana every time. I still think the major problem is judging individuals if they're driving impaired, because THC stays in your system for 30 to 40 days. So if you smoke 3 weeks ago and you get pulled over, you should not be arrested for that. But if I smoke 10 minutes ago and it's affected my ability, there should be a way to judge that. And there are so many companies trying to take the science and narrow that down and differ between it's just in your system or it's in your system and it's affecting what you do. But
well,
I mean,
you know more about it than I am, but it's, you know, it's happening. You know, it goes to Canada becomes fully legal, I think, this summer. So anybody up on the North Shore, you know,
right. And in Canada, it's province by province too. So it's legal, but then they're letting the provinces handle it.
Yeah,
differently.
You know, because I do all of this tourism writing for the magazine, so
right.
I was kind of poking around up in Thunder Bay to see what was. Not,
sure.
You know, just looking on the internet, and you know, yep, there it is. Like, there's the dispensary that's going to open, and it's all, you know, it's all happening.
Another poll came out, 65% in favor, and when you lower it to 60 and below, it's like 75%. I mean, when the country is saying 3 out of 4 are saying this should happen. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. So go to Insight Brewing this weekend and go to their dankest day of the year, or go to Inbound to their big party. I mean, there are just so many. 612 Brew is having a joint effort. So that's some comedy there. It's the number of like brewery events and, you know, hops, the thing that preserves beer, that gives beer its bite. All of that uses that kind of marijuana lingo. And so you'll see.
Perfect fit.
Yeah, it's perfect fit.
49 past 2. That is the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to learn why Lindus is the top installer of LeafGuard brand gutters throughout the world. Dara with us on a Friday. Normally with us Thursday, 2:35, her regular show off the menu tomorrow, 11 a.m. Speaking of tomorrow, 11 a.m., what do you have?
I got Cassie Joy Garcia. She's one of these internet food phenoms, and she's all about big batch cooking. That's what the youngins are doing today. And so I'm going to talk to her about how I feel it's kind of stressful. Like, it used to be that the perfect woman was, I don't know, sitting at home, played bridge, had a martini, got to, I don't know, like.
What are you talking about?
When did it, like, her, like, you know, she looks like a bikini model. She cooks, like, giant big batch, you know, foods all the time. She's got an internet empire. It's like, it's so exhausting to consider, really.
I don't think a lot of people are disappointed by that combination. Gorgeous, great cook, gets things done.
They're disappointed, but I mean, for the rest of us, it's like, sheesh.
It's a high bar.
It's an unattainable bar.
Yeah. Okay. So 11 tomorrow. Okay. Tell me about this place that you reviewed.
The most expensive restaurant in the history of Minneapolis. Minneapolis, Minneapolis. Okay.
Yep.
Demi.
This is
the new Gavin Kaysen restaurant. It's tiny, it's tucked behind his old restaurant. It's in the North Loop. It kind of, you know, where the parking lot to the Monte Carlo is, you're most of the way there. It's amazing. It's like seriously fantastic.
Okay, because his downtown place.
I still don't think it's very good.
You think it's.
I think Spoon and Stable is the most overrated of all Minneapolis restaurants. Like, people.
Wow, you're even hotter now on it, because before you would say, I mean, it's okay.
Back, and it's, you know, it's okay.
See, now, I have not ate at Spoon and Stable. Belcour, I've probably ate there 4 or 5 times. La-di-da, I love it.
Belcour, I think, is solidly good. It's French. You know, he really leans heavily on French food, which nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
And it's excellent. I think they make a chocolate croissant, a Belcour, that made me cry.
Yeah, they have lots of good
stuff.
But this place, okay, so tell me, because it's literally a big ticket to go there.
You have to sign up, you know. So the first of the month, they release the tickets for the following month. So on June 1st, they'll release the tickets for July.
Okay.
And everybody, you got to get your ticket, and it's ticketed. So you get either the early seating, which is a $95 ticket, or the later seating, which I think is $125. And then you, you know, get there, and it's like a theater show. You know, you sit down, and then they start bringing you a little thing is on a birch bark log, and a little thing is in a bunch of porcelain antlers. And it's, like, very kind of precious, but it feels like you're at the circus. Like, they just,
yep.
like magic trick here, magic trick here. And the magic tricks are delicious, and it's got all of those kind of, like, fancy Michelin star accents, you know, this special glass and this special fork. But it doesn't feel like you're being hovered over. It just feels like you're at a magic show, and in a really classy, delightful way.
You and Brad Pitt go there. Okay, the two of you go there because you're dating now, and you guys are going to spend, and you get a couple glasses of wine.
You have to get, these are all the things, you have to get all the upgrades. You have to get the cocktail. You show up,
okay.
and they give you an option. You know, when you buy your ticket, you have an option to get like a pre-dinner cocktail. Absolutely,
get
do
it.
That. Some of them are like you can choose if you want it to be non-alcoholic
Good.
Or if you want it to
they
be
should give
strong.
You that option.
But you come into this little room, and the bartender is like plays what he calls a card game. So he puts out a card like, do you want a strong alcohol, like 5 ranks of alcohol? Do you like bitter flavors, like, or do you like sweet flavors? Anyway, you pick all these cards, and then he makes you this personalized cocktail. It is so lovely. Like, if I could just do that at a bar, like, I'd be so happy. But you can only do
it
all of it is so fun, and you get the wine pairings. I did the non-alcoholic pairing, which is not, you know, I just did to see
sure.
how it was. Amazing. One of the most eye-opening, astonishing things. Like, have
that's great because people who don't drink for whatever reason, they should have amazing treats also.
Yes, and it was like eye-opening, like everything was surprising. This is some kind of a beet juice and, I don't know, 4 other thing concoction that tasted like wine. I was like, really? Like, you did do this with different kinds of juice? It was amazing. They had these very expensive British products, I don't even know what they are, that, you know, taste like herbs and citrus, and they're just, you know, non-alcoholic, and they made a you know, kind of a martini-ish little thing out of those.
So is it impossible to get into right now?
Right now it is. And when I was there, it was funny. As a reporter, just go somewhere and then all of a sudden people are saying the things that are like too easy. The people sitting next to me the first night were like, well, it was really hard to get into Birdie when that opened and then it closed. So I was like, gosh, this is like a David Brooks Taxi Driver thing. Like, you're just going to give me my lead into the story?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's I would tend to imagine it will continue to be the hottest ticket in town for at least a year or two.
And so if a couple goes there, and we got about 30 seconds, how much are they going to spend?
You add everything, $250 a person.
$250 a person.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most expensive
yes.
place in town there.
And
right?
And I am very difficult, and it's worth it. It's the best restaurant we've ever had. Really.
Really? Best restaurant we've ever had.
That level, that kind of international, top 50 in the world.
That's a hot take to finish the show with.
Yeah, I stand by it. It's amazing.
Thank you, Dara.
Thank you.
We are done for the day. Paul is next. Twins ball game rained out. Paul for 3 hours.